This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sifasodhi. Until today, tuberculosis remains the world's deadliest infectious disease. Despite that, it is curable and it's actually preventable. So for World TB Day, with the theme, It's Time, we speak to consultant respiratory physician Dr. Hilmi Lokman to find out how we can move towards ending the global epidemic and how we can improve vaccines and vaccinations towards the goal. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hilmi. How are you today?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me today.
Dr. Hilmi, the World Health Organization describes TB as the world's deadliest infectious killer. Now, what's it about TB that makes it so infectious and deadly?
TB has been around for thousands of years. So if you look back as far back as about 7,000 years ago, so we can see it from evidence where in the Egyptians, also in the Peruvians as well, they have patients or they have people with TB that they see from the remains. Now, we look at TB as a major factor because of population growth in the last few hundred years. So we have more patients congregating in the same area because TB itself is airborne. So when it's airborne, when there's more people congregating in the same area, so it's easy to contract the disease from somebody who has the disease.
So since we're on this topic of, you know, everybody's talking about COVID-19 as well. Now, yeah. COVID-19 is also terribly infectious. How does that compare to TB?
Okay, then the thing with COVID-19 and TB, because the incubation for COVID-19 and TB is very, very different. So COVID-19 is much more contagious. So, and they have an incubation period much shorter. So we're looking at a period of up to 14 days. And compared to TB, the incubation period is much, much longer and you require much more organism and exposure and prolonged exposure before one can actually contract TB.
I see.
That's one of the major differences between the two.
And with TB, it's airborne. I mean, the WHO has come out to say that COVID-19 could be airborne as well for a certain period of time. But TB, we know for sure, has always been airborne. How long does it stay in the air? And when you say prolonged, how long do you have to be in this area before you actually contract TB?
I mean, TB, if you talk about, say, in the same area, immediate household, we're talking about exposure for a few hours before you can actually get the disease. So it wouldn't be somebody sneezing at you suddenly and you'll be, okay, I'm going to get TB next.
Right.
No, it doesn't work that way. So it depends on the bacterial load that is within the particles and also the level of exposure. So normally we're talking about exposure about 4 to 5 hours constantly. So and then there'll be the increased risk of developing TB for that particular person being exposed to an index case. Now, whereas for COVID-19, we're talking about close contact. It doesn't have to be for too long, which is why, I mean, we have the personal investigation. So even with a short exposure, the risk of developing the disease is much, much higher.
And the WHO's latest statistics from 2018, mm-hmm. It shows that 1.5 million people die from TB and about 10 million right. people fall ill with TB.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's about 4,000 people dying every day from TB.
Yeah.
Is this a disease that, you know, we have sort of ignored or haven't taken seriously, Dr. Hilmi, in Malaysia?
I mean, you have to bear in mind, okay, if we compare, say, TB to other infections, okay, we talk about TB being, the disease that falls in the top 10 category of the highest incidence of death in the world. So if we have somebody with a chest infection, okay, we can tell them, though, okay, you take this antibiotics, 5 to 7 days, you're going to be fine. Now, in TB, it doesn't work that way because it's very difficult to treat and you need a prolonged course of antibiotics or any TB therapy. So we're talking about treatment at the bare minimum of 6 months. So 6 months treatment, getting somebody to take it, will be extremely challenging. And you have to, you need to have a lot of encouragement because unlike most people, they say, look, I feel fine, so I'm not going to be taking my medication for 6 months.
Yeah.
But you have to because the risk of reinfection is one. The treatment doesn't complete, then you're going to develop the disease again, you're going to infect other people again. So I think that is one of the issues. So this one is quite important to have for somebody to complete the whole treatment for 6 months at least, and sometimes up to a point of a year, just to make sure that the treatment is completed. Yeah. So, I mean, if we go back to and the scenario in Malaysia, for example, we're looking at about 25,000 to 26,000 cases per year of TB. So, and then even then, we're not capturing everyone. According to the WHO, we should be getting maybe about 29,000 to 30,000 cases per year based on our own population. So we're still missing quite a few people.
So there are people walking around with TB without knowing it?
Yes. I guess some of them may be because of fear or stigmatization. Some of them may be because of not sure whether this will affect their livelihood. Because you have to bear in mind, because some of these patients, when they're diagnosed with tuberculosis, the employer is going to say, look, you can't work. You can't work for a period of time. And some of them are low-wage earners. So they have that fear in them as well. And this is not including some foreigners who unfortunately do have tuberculosis in our population. Do bear in mind that the number of foreigners is still so much lower than our own population. We're talking about only about 12-13%. And majority of cases are still within our own nationalities.
So our numbers in Malaysia are about 25,000 to 26,000 cases a year. But you estimate that it is possibly close to 29,000 to 30,000, meaning
according to the WHO, yes.
Yeah. So we have not captured quite a number of those cases. You spoke about stigmatization, Dr. Helmi. I think this has been there for the longest time. TB has had that sort of impact on people from back in the day. It's a bit like leprosy, isn't it?
Yes.
What can employers do better to help employees in this area and not stigmatize? Because TB, there are many types of TB as well. A lot of people link it to the lung only. You can get TB of the bone, you can get TB of the brain. So what can employers actually do?
Okay, one thing is depends on the clarification, because obviously the main concern usually when we talk about tuberculosis, we talk about the lung. So that's the one that's very infectious. But if we talk about TB in other areas, like TB in the bowel, TB in the brain, obviously that's a concern, TB in the spine and elsewhere, I mean, there should be no risk to other people. And I think that's the main thing that people have to understand. And it's also up to the doctor that's treating the patient to make it clear to the patient's employer. But one of the problems is, even though the HR, for example, I mean, they are well with it because they know what's going on, but the moment a co-worker hears that, look, hey, that person so-and-so has got TB, and then that person is going to be shunned for some time. And it happens quite a lot, unfortunately, even in this day and age where you can access good information on the internet or even at good websites at the WHO, even in our Ministry of Health. So I think it's very unfortunate. So we have to make it clear to other people that, number one, certain TBs are quite okay. It doesn't, there's no risk to others. But certain TB, you need to seek help and also take care of certain symptoms that you do need to identify that may be a cause for TB. For example, prolonged fever, weight loss, prolonged cough, usually a dry one, sometimes even coughing up blood, which has always been said for years, but is usually quite uncommon. Tuberculosis.
Does Malaysia have a high fatality rate from tuberculosis?
I think no, because we're not considered as a country with a high incidence of TB and also high fatality rate.
Okay. TB is considered endemic in Malaysia and so is dengue. How does TB and dengue compare when it comes to the infection and mortality rate?
Okay, the thing with dengue, we are looking at mortality of just under 1%. So it's very prevalent. So we see dengue day in, day out. We don't see TB that often. But dengue, we're talking about treatment will be, 8 to 10 days more or less, and the disease usually settles. So patients usually recover well. But TB, we're talking about, like I mentioned earlier, so treatment needs to be at least 6 months or more.
Okay. We're discussing tuberculosis. It is World Tuberculosis Day 2020, and this year's theme is titled It's Time. And on the line with me, Dr. Hilmi Lokman. He's a consultant respiratory physician, helping us understand tuberculosis. Of course, we've gone through the difference between what TB is and COVID-19, for an example. I think Dr. Hilmi has explained that the incubation period is what's very different between the two. We have also spoken about stigmatization as far as TB is concerned, and how the different types of tuberculosis, as well as the mortality rate compared to other countries in Malaysia, is relatively lower. However, we still have a problem. We've got 25 to 26,000 cases every year, and the WHO estimates actually it's slightly, possibly higher, closer to 30,000. That's still a high number. We'll come back and find out more up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi, and it's our Health and Living segment. It's World Tuberculosis Day, and this year's theme is It's Time. On the line with me, Dr. Hilmi Lokman, a consultant respiratory physician. We're trying to understand tuberculosis a little bit more. Dr. Hilmi, we take it for granted that everybody knows what TB is about. You want to just give us a bit of a refresher on how tuberculosis actually affects our body? How does it spread in the community, for an example? How common is latent TB? There are two types or maybe even three types. Could you go through that with us, please?
Okay, so tuberculosis is an infection due to a bacteria called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. And it tends to spread by airborne. So somebody who sneezes who has the disease, somebody who coughs it out, coughs the droplet. So, I mean, it's where it becomes airborne, and whoever is close to that person for a prolonged period of time tends to get exposed. And initially, they are own body will try to fight off the infection, but then after some time, it will start to stick to the lungs and it will cause a certain reaction. Now, the thing with tuberculosis, obviously, I mean, it takes a while before somebody will show signs of having TB. So if you've been exposed to somebody with tuberculosis today, you're not going to have any symptoms tomorrow or the day after. So we're talking about an incubation period of something like a 6 to 8 weeks at least. So it does affect other organs, as mentioned earlier. So you can have it anywhere, all throughout the body. You can have it from the lungs, from the gut, ovaries, kidneys, even spine, brain, glands in the neck. So some people do present like swollen glands in the neck, so they find it a bit unusual. But most patients are still mainly be affected through the lungs or pulmonary area. So their main symptoms will still be coughing, weight loss, night sweats, usually, and can occur for some time. Now, those are the active TB or the tuberculosis that we normally see. But there's also something called latent TB. Now, latent TB, as the word latent means, that is actually dormant. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't spread. It doesn't cause harm to the patient who has the problem. So, which means that they've been exposed in the past at some point. They've managed to clear majority of the bacteria or the organism, but some of it still stays in the body, which doesn't appear to be causing any harm at this moment in time. Now, if we look at the data for patients with latent TB, I mean, we estimate that around 10 to 15% could potentially in the future develop active TB. And that tends to occur if at some point in the past, in the future, that the patient develops some chronic disease that will suppress their immune system, such as diabetes, heart failure, or maybe even a condition like COPD, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Patients who may require immunosuppression or medication that could suppress their immune system, such as chemotherapy. Patients who might have rheumatoid arthritis may need immunosuppression. Patients also could have a reactivation if they have been started on steroids or corticosteroids to suppress their immune system again. So that's among the things that could happen. But again, some people need to understand that latent TB, it's not contagious. It will not affect other people. But the patient themselves can be offered eradication treatment in order to clear the infection completely. And that usually takes some time. We're talking about in order of between 6 to 9 months of treatment.
So who is at risk of developing TB? If you say that TB is not like COVID-19, your exposure to the bacteria has to be prolonged for about 4 to 5 hours constantly. Who is at risk?
Okay, people at risk tend to be, a few things. Okay, one, people who've got prolonged exposure, certainly, okay, in the household, in the workspace, people with reduced immunity, people with cancer, for example. So their immune system is a bit low. So obviously they are more at risk. And also not forgetting people with HIV. Because HIV, the immune system is lower. So they are at a much higher risk of having tuberculosis.
And what about now with worries about COVID-19? Are people with TB at higher risk of contracting COVID-19 and vice versa?
That should not be any different. But having said that, because COVID-19 is still a new entity over the last few months, I don't think we've had enough time to see the correlation between having tuberculosis and COVID-19. I think it's very difficult to tell. But what I would suspect is that people with tuberculosis certainly can get COVID-19 quite easily as per any other person. And people with COVID-19 could be exposed to tuberculosis again. But again, COVID-19, as we know, that most people do recover from it, and it doesn't last for very long. So it's very difficult, and it's not clear at this moment in time. Maybe we'll have some idea about it when all of this clears up.
Yeah. If you have recovered from tuberculosis, would you be more susceptible, or will contracting COVID-19... make you weaker in a way because your lungs have been affected? Because we know that the COVID-19 seems to be affecting the lungs almost immediately.
That's very true.
Yeah,
very
almost
true.
Immediately.
And it depends very much on, if we're talking about purely pulmonary TB, it depends on the level of debilitation that you have developed, or the leftover scar tissue that you've had in the lungs. But that should not make you more prone to getting COVID-19, certainly. But for some people, unfortunately, when they have tuberculosis, they can also develop something called bronchiectasis, which means that those patients with bronchiectasis, they can repeat the lung infections. So they may be more susceptible to infections per se, but certainly not. There shouldn't be any more different to even COVID-19 as well.
So what is the cause of treatment for TB?
TB, standard TB therapy, we would give her 4 different types of anti-tuberculosis medication where you need to take for 2 months initially. After 2 months, provided the patient is doing well, then we will reduce the medication to 2 different types of anti-tuberculosis medication for the subsequent 4 months. Occasionally, we might extend that depending on the condition of the patient, depending on whether the sputum has cleared. Usually, they will get repeated sputum checks over the course of the 6-month period.
Okay. And, with multi-drug resistant tuberculosis, I'm sure we have cases in Malaysia as well. Huge concern? I mean, I think multi-drug resistance around the world is of concern for many other diseases as well, where they're dependent on antibiotics. Do we need to be worried about that here?
Multi-drug resistance is still quite low in the country. We're talking about incidence of less than 100 that we have. Certainly the last few years, I think the last 2 years, certainly, and the numbers were well below 100. Now, the main thing is that, number one, we don't want other patients to develop multi-drug resistant TB, and they need to be taking their medications properly, because otherwise the failure rate for drug-resistant TB, it's almost about 50% multi-drug resistant. And that's a big issue. And it does take a lot of our resources as well, because the drugs are expensive. They need to be taken we're talking about at least 18 months or more. And it takes up a lot of resources. We look at data from South Africa. They're using 20 to 30% of their TB drug budget on multi-drug resistant alone. So we do not want that to happen to Malaysia. We're not even close to that level at the moment. But which is why one of the things is very important for someone, for example, who's had tuberculosis or diagnosis of TB, we stress the importance of taking the medication religiously up to the point when we can stop the medication. Some people would take it intermittently. Some people miss here, miss there. Some people are not serious in taking the medication, and especially with in those people that feel, look, I'm fine, I want to go back to work, I don't need this medication, I stop. So those are the type of people that will develop resistance. So when you develop resistance, it's going to be a it will be much more difficult to restart the therapy, because you will need different type of medications at that point.
Right. Hence the need for compliance, the urgent need for compliance between the 2 and 6
That's
months
correct,
period.
Yes. Mm.
Do you think awareness about TB is enough in Malaysia? Do you think Malaysians understand TB enough?
Those who have faced TB or tuberculosis personally, those who have a family member or close family member who has suffered from it, do know how it is, and certainly healthcare workers as well. But all the other groups of people around, they may not have a good idea what TB is. Some might know, look, this type of infection is a serious infection, which is fine. Some would say, look, okay, this is TB, so I don't know what it is. I do not want to know about it. And some might say, look, I have symptoms. There might be TB, but those symptoms might also mean that I might have cancer. So there's the other people that they would want to go for testing.
Yeah.
So I think you do need to explain it quite well, because one thing that people just need to understand is that, I mean, TB, tuberculosis, again, like, is the main cause for death due to infection in the world. We can do something about it. It's treated. Yes, treatment is quite long, but if people are persistent with the treatment, there shows very good success rate in eradication or in terms of treating the disease itself. I think that's one thing that we have to stress to the people out there.
You know, Dr. Hilmi, this has been playing on my mind a lot. Maybe you may be able to help me understand it. It goes back to the psychology of things. If tuberculosis is the world's deadliest infectious killer, why is it then people have taken COVID-19 so seriously and haven't really taken tuberculosis as seriously, for that matter, even dengue in Malaysia? Why is that the case?
I think if we look at the speed of how COVID-19 has changed the world, I mean, we've never heard about COVID-19 until about two months ago. And this all started back in December, or mid-part of December. And, I mean, we are coming close to April or mid-March now. And everybody seems to be, well, a lot of people seem to be terrified of it. Okay, some people are taking it very, very seriously because the spread of the disease is like never, that's something we've never seen before. So I think that's why it's very different, because people catch it so, so easily. And we're talking about incubation period of up to 14 days at most, compared to TB, which is much slower progression. You don't get the symptoms until weeks or even months. I think that's what makes it a different type of a disease altogether. I mean, I couldn't see our Prime Minister saying that, look, I mean, this emergency TB, so stay in your house, stay in your home for a month or two trying to clear it. I mean, it's just very different. And the fact of that certain people get very, very bad complications, as what we can see in Italy, where the whole healthcare system is under tremendous strain, is almost on the verge of collapse. And you're having so many people dying from the disease. We're talking about 500, 600, 700 people dying in a day.
Yeah.
I think that terrifies people more, even though, yes, we do talk about TB, but TB is nowhere near as contagious as COVID-19. At the moment, I think that's why people are finding COVID-19 is a much more serious condition as opposed to tuberculosis at this moment in time.
The WHO is reporting that globally TB incidence is falling at about 2% a year. Is this decline sufficient to achieve the target of ending tuberculosis, the tuberculosis epidemic by 2030, which is in line with the third Sustainable Development Goal?
Unfortunately, it's good that the numbers are falling, but we are not, we probably wouldn't achieve our target that we've set to get the TB eradicated by, 2030, 2035. So we do need to do a bit more for it.
In Malaysia?
But in Malaysia and the whole world, really. We are still a bit behind our target. So we are supposed to be targeted by 8% reduction, if I'm not mistaken, but we're still a bit behind.
Do you think that we will be able to eradicate TB eventually?
Personally, no. I think TB will still be there, because if we look at the number of population still on the rise, there will always be people being exposed to TB, people not getting medical care early enough, or people are serious enough with their health to seek help. So the TB will still always be in the background. The numbers might be falling, but I think we'll still be seeing TB. And the other issue is that because we are also set on any type of disease that we have, we talk about vaccines. We talk about vaccines for COVID. We talk about vaccines for smallpox even in the past, and we managed to eradicate that. And the TB is a different thing altogether. We use BCG in Malaysia or in high prevalent countries because we want to protect predominantly our children. Because TB, BCG itself, the vaccine for tuberculosis is much more effective in children, but it's not really effective in the adults. So we need to be looking at much better vaccines in the future, hopefully, that can help to control or maybe, if at all possible, to eradicate TB in the future.
So we have no improved TB vaccine for adults, for an example?
Currently, no. Because BCG, like I said, it's been given in babies. Okay, there's no indication to give BCG as a booster in an adult because it doesn't change the disease.
Yeah.
But there's some work in progress looking at changing the type of vaccines, the TB vaccine itself. We're talking about using inhaled vaccines. Not shown much difference at the moment. Recently, there was a paper that's been giving IV vaccine, which did mount to a greater response. It's still early days to look at the response, but we're talking about this is in primates. It's not even in humans yet. So unless they can understand the actual response and how does the response of the primate has made to the IV, and understand the actual mechanism, then we can design something that will be successful that we can use. Because the mechanism of TB vaccine so far, or even disease itself, is still not well discovered yet. So we don't really understand fully TB, how it affects, how does it affect our body and all. So the immune system is still not quite clear.
Okay. So just to go through, you have mentioned that at the moment, TB patients are just as vulnerable to COVID-19 as everybody else. Am I correct,
yes.
Dr. Hilmi?
Yes, sir.
And the main concerns for TB patients when it comes to treatment, when it comes to COVID-19, is like everybody else as well.
Correct.
So how can we improve prevention of TB in Malaysia?
Okay, improving TB prevention mainly with education. Make sure the vaccines are up to date, particularly in children. Take care of developing, people need to take care of themselves, take care of their health, especially in those who are already suffering from chronic diseases. So if the disease are stable, then obviously the risk of them developing TB will be reduced. So we talk about like good diabetic control, watching their health, their diet, keep taking their medications for maybe the heart, kidneys or lungs even. Don't smoke. Obviously, that's a good thing because smokers tend to have a high incidence of tuberculosis.
And just to be clear also that amongst the 25 to 26,000 people in Malaysia who have TB every year, only 12 to 13% are from migrant workers? From
migrant workers or non-Malaysians, really.
Okay, non-Malaysians. Still, the majority of the numbers are Malaysians who contract
locals.
TB.
So some people are a bit terrified, saying, okay, foreigners are bringing that. But I think the majority of the TB sufferers in Malaysia are still Malaysians.
Are we seeing an increase in the number of TB patients in Malaysia? Have we seen the number grow over the last 20 years, perhaps?
The numbers have been coming down, but I have to say the last couple of years, I mean, it's been pretty flat in terms of the number of cases.
Okay, but it's...
Maybe it's because we're picking up some of them that were missing before, they were picking up a bit better.
Right, yeah. But, you know, we could do more to bring that graph down lower, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Your message this World Tuberculosis Day?
Take care of yourself. I mean, take care of your health. Eat well, exercise, don't smoke. Keep an eye on symptoms that might be due to tuberculosis, with things like losing weight despite eating well, prolonged cough, see a doctor early, maybe if it doesn't go away after 2 to 3 weeks, please do so. Watch if you have coughed up any blood. I mean, that's one thing that's always a concern. But do not be afraid to seek medical help, because TB is something that can be cured if you take the medications as advised. I think that's what I think we need to do, and also be safe.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Hilmi Lokman, Consultant Respiratory Physician, this World Tuberculosis Day on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.